last week, our nugget. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but John the Baptist, all right, the predecessor. It's online if you want to hear it. We're talking about things that maybe don't always get talked about leading up to the cross. And so last week it was the predecessor, John the Baptist. We learned about what he did and what he said. And the nugget that we took from it was a word, Kohanim. It's a Hebrew word, Kohanim. It is the high priest. It was the name given, Kohan, to Aaron. When Moses made him the first high priest of the temple, Moses gave him the name high priest, all right? And the bloodline of Aaron is the priests to follow. So to be Kohanim, a member, you had to be in the bloodline of Aaron. And when you trace it down, okay, the ones who made the sacrifice worthy, the ones who said, yes, this lamb, it can be slain to take away our sins in the Old Testament, that John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. John the Baptist is bloodline, not just through his father, but through his mother also. How cool is that? That from the beginning of time, from early Old Testament all the way through, God is weaving and working through the Kohanim, all right, the high priest, all right? Got another word for you this morning, but I thought since spring was coming, and I know this isn't typical Easter message type stuff, but we're going to talk about gardening. Okay, we're going to talk about gardening, and I'm not doing the farmer and the seed, all right? We're going to talk about the tale of two gardens, all right? So we're going to begin at the beginning, all right? Genesis chapter 2, all right? We're going to start in verse 8. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put a man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden was the tree of life, the tree and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there, it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first, Pishon, winding through the entire land where there was gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. There we go. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east. And the fourth is the Euphrates. And the Lord took the man and he put him in the garden to work, to take care of it. God took his creation. All right. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Listen to me. He took the prize. He took the treasure. He took the created thing that got his image, that was a part of who he was. And then he said, I'm going to make a gift. And he made the most lush, the most bountiful, the most fruitful, all right? He filled it with the gifts and with the treasures, and he began to later fill it with animals. All the needs of man were met, and we find in another part of the scripture that God didn't just set the man there and let him play. He set the man there. He gave him a woman out of man to be a partner, to be a caregiver, to be a lover of him. And he said, go and play in paradise. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Another sermon, but yes, this is what he says to do. All right? It is bountiful. It is beautiful. It is lush. And then God came down and walked and talked and held hands with and had a relationship with for, listen to me, who knows how long. I will not stand up here and say it was a day. I will not stand up here and say it was a week. Here's what I'll say. They walked and talked with God for an innumerable amount of time. Maybe a month, maybe years. Listen, maybe decades. People in unity with God in the first and the second chapters of the Bible. And God said, listen, it was good. But he said, you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, of all of the things in the garden. This thing I'm asking you not to do. Listen to me, because this is going to be important later. God makes a request of man. It's important. God makes a request of man. I came running in the sanctuary this morning. I said, Preston. God gave me another nugget, you know, a line. It's coming later, and this is the start of it. God made a request of man. For if you eat from it, you will surely die. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the animals the Lord had made, and he said, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat from any of the trees, but God did say you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle. Touch it or you will die. Yeah, maybe you won't die. Die? You even know what die is? Nothing's ever died. What in the... Oh, crafty. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened. You'll be like God. Come on. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing and desirable, she took some and she ate it. And she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And then both of their eyes were open and they realized, come on, they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and covered it up. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden, and they hid from the Lord among the trees. Listen, they hid from the Lord among the trees. They dashed behind that which he made to give them love, to give them food, to give them hope, to lavish them. They're hiding behind what he did for them. And God said, where are you? I heard you walking in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Y'all have heard me do this before. Can you imagine that particular moment? You've been walking around for a year, 100 years, maybe 1,000 years. Everything all good. One day you take a bite of some fruit and then all of a sudden, oh. I mean, seriously, everything's fine. God asks the question. God is funny, and if y'all missed it, you just ain't. Who told you you were naked? But still, and we listen, and we've been covering up ever since. We've been hiding ever since. And do you know why we hide? Because Satan makes things in this world good and pleasing. Do not tell your children not to do something because it will hurt them or they won't like it. If they wouldn't like it, they wouldn't try it. Don't lie. To say Satan does all things horribly and makes all things awful, no. That's not the whole truth. Satan makes it 90% delicious, and then he rips your heart out in the last 10. It's thank you. It's real. It's real. Satan, yeah, you better watch out. I'm excited. I done clocked one, brother. I'll get some more. About 3 months ago, I took a guy out with some excitement. Holy Spirit hands, all right? Listen to me. Satan is the most crafty in the garden, and his job is not necessarily to kill you. It's to make what happened happen. He could care less if you're with him as long as you're what? Not with God. Could care less if you're with him, long as you're not with God. Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree? The man said, the woman you put here with me. I heard you, Leslie. I'll behave. And he says it like that too, which I find hilarious. That woman you put here with me. Here's what I think God did. I do. I think God's look at my face. All right? And then the woman says, well, don't look at me. It was the snake. And we started a game that we're still playing today. It's never your fault. It's never your fault. Shawshank Redemption, man, they're asking around. You innocent? You innocent? Everybody here is innocent. You know what I'm saying? Movies all the time. You innocent? Yeah, I didn't do it. He didn't do it. She didn't do it. Yeah, it happened, but so-and-so did it. We start when we're kids. Baby brother, baby sister, we're always pointing the finger. We're playing the blame game. And we're playing the blame game, you ready? Because God made a request and man said no. Listen to me. God made a request and man said no. And from that point in history, we have been separated from God. And God has been chasing us. From that moment in time, we have been separated from God, and God has been chasing us. Genesis chapter 1 is the place where it all began, the place where it all was right, and our faith and our Christianity and our churches and our baptisms and our serving and our mission trips and our money, all of that should be to do this. Get God's people back to chapter 1. That is the mission of the church. Use the rest of the scripture to get back to Genesis chapter 1. It ought to be the mission of every church. Back to 1. 3 words that will last a lifetime, because that is what God's been doing. Since the day he set Adam and Eve out of the garden, he has been chasing them down and setting up what was to come, not in the first garden, but in the second. You see, because thousands of years later, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we move to a second garden. And Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go there to pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, his inner circle, Peter, James, and John, up on the hill with him. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Make no mistake about it, people. You need to understand what was going on here. Satan was about to play his card against Christ. They're sitting at the poker table of history. Seriously, if y'all have a problem with me using this analogy, go somewhere. Listen to me. They're playing at the poker table of history. And this is the moment where Satan's going to play his big card. He's whispered in the ear of Judas. He has set up a trip to Caiaphas. He set up a court case that's going to come to fruition. And he has set up the opportunity to kill the Christ child. He has laid it all out. And he's about to play the biggest card of all. He's about to play the only card he's got to keep man separated. Listen to me. To keep man separated from God forever. And I want you to hear. I want you to see the scene. Because you need to understand it. And then I'm going to teach you a new word and show you a picture. Here's the scene. The Garden of Gethsemane is covered with olive trees. Now, I don't know if you know how olive trees grow, but they grow to be between 4 and 6 feet tall. And they grow like giant bonsai trees from the Karate Kid, up and across and up and across. And their roots come up out of the ground, and sometimes they actually go back down in like a vine and bury themselves in the ground. So if you can see this picture, this hillside has these gnarled trees that look like fingers. So think about the demons, the devil, coming up out of the earth and reaching around and back down in. And this is the scene as these olive trees are reaching out, looking like knuckles and fingers, and everything is twisted and turned, and it's nighttime, so everything is dark. And listen, I know that Jesus is God, and I know that God is the Spirit. I get that they are 3 in 1. I know that he is 100% divine, but listen to me, he's also 100% man. And fear was setting in. Sit here while I go and pray. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Listen, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow. Stay here and keep watch. Listen, Jesus did not want to be alone. Now, yeah, I know. He understands who God is. He knows who God is. He gets that he's never alone. He walked on water. The Spirit runs through him. I get all that. But the man is crying out right here going, I'm scared. I'm I'm hurting. I'm sorrowful. I'm and he can't get it out. In fact, he gets up to go get his friends, and guess what? He gets up to go look for him because he's talking, but he can't because he returned at the end of it. Then he returned and he found them sleeping. He could feel the loneliness. Anybody know what that is? It's two huge stones. Normally there's one, and they're set onto a giant stone table. And normally there's a groove in there, okay? They're used for a couple of different purposes. Really large ones are used to break through wheat. But this is an olive press. What would happen is you would take the olives from the tree and put them on the press, and a human, or in the larger version, single version, an animal, would move the stone around and it would crush the olives, and that's how we get olive oil. Hold on. Now, in the Old Testament, olive oil was used for two or three things in religious purposes. Celebrations of joy, healing, and to represent an outpouring of the Spirit. When David was anointed, they ran to him and put oil on his head. When babies are given to the Lord, they put oil on his head. When Simba had his... I'm just kidding. Come on, that was funny. Rafiki. Hey, you think I'm joking? Rafiki's John the Baptist. Simba's Jesus. Come on. You walk through that, and I can quote scripture to the Lion King with you. Beginning. Every knee will bow and every... Come on. Oh, stop it. You play that movie for me. I will preach. All right. Now listen. So when the olives were crushed, the oil would come out, and the oil for religious purposes was to bring joy, to bring healing, or for the outpouring of the Spirit on someone as a representation of God anointing someone. This thing, say this word, is called a gat. Gat shamin. Gat shamin. Or multiple ones would be called gat, which is to press, shamanim, which means olives. Gat shamanim. Gat shamanim. Gat shamanim. Geth simani. The New Testament word in Greek, the Hebrew word is gat shamanim. The Greek word is geth simani. The place where he would be crushed to pour out his Spirit, heal us, and bring joy. In the Garden of Eden, God made a request of man, and man said no. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, man makes a request to God. Father, it is not possible for this cup to be taken from me. Father, please let this cup pass from me. Man makes a request of God, and God says, don't think for a minute that Jesus, listen, don't think for a minute that Jesus wasn't scared to death, sorrowful to the point of pain. Emmanuel, God with us in our pain, God with us in our fear, God with us in our sorrow, God with us in our hopelessness, God with us in our loneliness, but he was pressed, bruised. By his stripes we were healed, because man made a request of God, and God said no. And Jesus then makes a decision. set out from the beginning of time. Not my will. It's important. Not my will. The human side must be gone. But yours be done. In the first garden, man falls. In the second, Jesus takes a stand. In the first garden, we fall to the fruit. In the second, the fruit is crushed for our salvation. Jesus went in to the garden alone so that we would never have to be alone again. He was separated from his Father on the cross so we would never be separated again. He is the olive. He is the Gethsemane. And in the garden, he will bring joy and the outpouring of a spirit that will draw all men unto himself. And then a kiss. And the story continues. But that's to come. Let's pray. God, sometimes, as my friend said yesterday morning, tying a bow on it is unnecessary. Sometimes, maybe all the time, we should simply throw the word out, teach the word deeply, and allow your spirit to do what it does in the people. I don't know what these words are going to say to Nick. I don't know what these words are going to say to Todd. I don't know what these words are going to say to Talia or to Jamie. I don't know. But here's what I do know. You have poured out your spirit, Lord, on all your people. And that spirit whispers, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That spirit whispers, when you don't choose me, I still choose you. That spirit whispers, you don't have to die. I will take your place. Not my will, but yours be done. God, let us be a church that celebrates your victory, not ours. Your death, not ours. And most of all, coming soon, your life for ours. And it is because you live that we can face tomorrow. And we will face it holding hands, running, knowing victory is ours. In Jesus' name, amen.